Good morning. Good morning. You know, over the years, I've had a lot of questions asked me with regards to me growing up in England. Even though I've lived in America longer than I was in England, I only lived in England 18 years. But I still have people, and I'm losing my accent, so that's why people get confused. But as people come up to me and ask me about that, they ask me about the history of England, and they ask me about what we eat, obviously because I look like I ate a lot over there. They ask me about the culture, and they also ask me about the sports. And growing up, I loved playing sports, but the sports are way different in England than over here. Back then, in my school, I played real football. Real football because we actually kicked the ball with our foot, so it's called football in England. You know it as soccer. But as a kid, I played for my school and then got picked to represent my town in the town soccer team as well. And so I was football crazy. Every day, my mum would shout at me because I would come home. We would have school uniforms, and my knees would always have grass stains from where you slide tackle during the football games at recess. And so I was always in trouble, but I absolutely loved playing football. But sports are different in the UK than here. For instance, in England, the main sports are obviously football, soccer, rugby. Did anyone see England beat the Irish yesterday? It was amazing. See, it's like crickets. No one knew what I said then. Rugby, it's basically American football, but for men, because they don't wear pads or helmets. I'm sure it's like a dare game. I dare you to play rugby. But there's rugby. Then in the summer, in the season where soccer isn't going on, everyone plays cricket, which is a whole different game that the whole world plays except for America. But there is a Peoria team, believe it or not. They play out at Mossville. But cricket is another game. I tell people, if you want to have a good sleep, go and watch cricket. Okay, then there's netball. See, none of you have heard about netball, right? Netball is like, at school, it was the girls' version of basketball when all the guys were going and playing soccer. Now, all the girls play soccer, okay? But back when I was a kid, like, the guys went and played soccer, the girls went and played netball. Just Google it. Be fascinating. Okay, then there's track and field. Okay, track and field during the summer. They were the games and the sports that I grew up with. There was no, like, basketball, which was really weird because in every gym in England there are basketball hoops, but we never play it. It's really strange. This is, again, back when I was growing up. I know they do it now. But one Sunday at church, this guy came up to me and said, "Hey, do you want to come and watch me and a group of men play American football?" I was like, "What? This is like a new language. American football in England?" Yeah, this group of guys got together. They bought their own pads and their helmets and everything. And they would meet at a local park every Sunday afternoon. And they would play American football. In our small little town, there was an American football team. So Sunday afternoon, I would go down there. He'd pick me up in his car and we would go. And I would just stand on the sidelines when it's raining and just getting wet, watching these guys hit each other. Come to find out that the majority of the men playing were actually rugby players who just got fed up and getting hurt playing rugby. So they play American football because they can put the pads on. And these guys would go at it every Sunday afternoon. And that was like a start of me enjoying watching American football. I remember as a kid, I would watch Super Bowl Monday. Yeah, I'm trying to see if some of you get that or not. Because of the time difference in England, when Super Bowl Sunday started, it actually was 1 o'clock in the morning in England. And so it is called Super Bowl Monday. They will promote it that way. And there will be thousands of people that will watch the Super Bowl in England. In fact, there is a franchise looking to go to England because there's so many people that have got into American football. But I remember getting up, my mom and dad would tell me off, turn that TV off, because it was like in the middle of the night watching the Super Bowl, because that was the only game that was ever shown back then. And I used to love watching it. And then 25 years ago, I get to move to America, home of American football. Thank you. But not only that, we then get to live in the state, in Illinois, the home of the mighty Chicago Bears. Come on. Come on, now I know I've just lost all the Packer fans. And that's fine, you can leave, that's all right. This message is going to go downhill from here anyway. No, I'm only joking. But coming to America, I always remember, you know, the big sports, the big teams at the time was obviously the Bears had a pretty good run in the 80s, but also the Bulls, Chicago Bulls, you know, there's some guy called Michael Jordan that played from. I was coming to the state where all this was happening. But yet it was only last year that a guy in our church came up to me and said, hey, I've got 4 tickets for the Bears. Do you want to go? I'm like, do I want to go? Am I English? Come on, let's do it. So I get these tickets, and I think we've got a picture of us at the game. Me and my boys, and then Levi, who was playing guitar today. We were second row. Second row at the Bears, and we lost by a kick by Bobby Gould, who had just been transferred to the team that was playing us. It was a good day. It was a good day. It really was. And we've got the team. Next year, be ready. Right, Bears fans? Oh, yeah. We're building. We're coming after everyone next year. We're going to get a better kicker. Let's put it that way. Next year. If you have no idea what I just said, that's fine. It's got nothing to do with the message. But when I look at these sports, both in the UK and in the US, even though they may be different, there are some things that are the same. Some things that are not, but some things that are. And so today I wanted to look at just where we all win, where we can all win, and looking at the comparisons between sports and our lives in church. And you may be thinking, why have they asked the English guy to speak at Super Bowl Sunday? I have no idea. But we're going to get through this together. Is that okay? We're going to get through this together this morning? All right, okay, cool. So as you know, all good teams start at one place. The locker room. In England, we call it the changing room. But the locker room. Now, it's not just a place where you get dressed. And there are some people who weren't like good sports people are like, what? I thought it was just where you got dressed. No. We actually start to win when we're in the locker room. You see, the locker room is a unique place. It's a place where you are either in or out. The locker room was a private place. It was a place set apart for the team. You see, a lot of teams can contribute to the talk in the locker room being what motivated them to actually win the game. But it's a very closed, private room. Let me try and explain. Back in the 90s, when we had just moved to America, the youth group was really growing like crazy. Like 500-600 young people were coming to the youth group in Washington. And at that time, we had some help with the Rivermen, the hockey team. There was like a revival going on within the hockey team at the Riverman, and probably 10 to 12 players were coming to the church. And in fact, last weekend, you may have seen Butch Cable being put into the Riverman Hall of Fame. Butch was one of those guys with his brother that were part of our church back in the 90s. And these hockey players were getting saved, and it was pretty raw. These guys were pretty raw. Any sports team, professional sports team, can be pretty hard to be a Christian in. And so they were asking the pastoral team and some of the leaders to help them on this journey. And so it was like, you know, our youth pastor and dad and a few of the other guys were like chaplains for the Riverman hockey team. It was an amazing time. And I always remember we would go early to the games, and I mean, we were going to every game. But we'd get there early and we were hanging out with the players, and you'd walk into that locker room. Man, the smell of an ice hockey locker room is crazy. Like, leather and sweat do not go together, all right, with the pads. The smell was terrible. You can have a fan going all day long. It's not going to get rid of that smell. And I always remember we would be in there, but about 30 minutes before the game starts, we were asked to leave. Because everyone that was now going to be in that locker room were in. They were all in. Those who weren't all in needed to leave. And it became a private place then, a private room for just those that were in. And today I want to talk a little bit about your locker room, your private place. Your place first that you can get alone with God. See, you can look at sports analogies and our Christian walk, and I'm going to do that a little bit. And if we can look at God being like the coach, our coach. There's experiences that happen in the locker room that affect everything else within the game. When you're in the locker room, the ultimate coach can be one-on-one with you. He can give you personal instruction. And so within the locker room, what are some of the things that you can do to get closer to the coach? Closer to God. Well, one of the first things is open your Bible. You see, God was the creator of everything we experience, including one another. He created us. And he created this book called the Bible that's like an instruction book for life. So why wouldn't we go as the creation to the creator to find out what is best for our lives? And he laid it, he mapped it out through the Bible. And I know the Bible can get pretty daunting, especially in some of them early books where there's a lot of names and places and things you can't say because it's too long of a word. But if you're new here today and you're like, I'm trying to get this journey started, why not start reading for now in the New Testament? In the Gospels, that's where you find the story of Jesus. Find out about who he was and what he did and who he hung out with, who he helped. You'll be amazed. But in that locker room, you can get one-on-one with God through reading Scripture. There's also devotional helps that I find help me out. I don't know about you, but you may be, again, new to this whole Christian faith thing. It's okay to go and get like a devotional. There's one that I've been using the last month or so called Solo. And this has been just a great help for me. It's done through the Message version or through ESV, which is another Bible translation. And it's just a page a day. It's just really practical. I'm breaking Scripture down. It's pretty interactive. Some days it asks you to go and walk as you read. Some days it asks you to stand. I mean, it's really cool. Worth checking out. It's called Solo. But whatever it takes in that locker room Try and find something that will help you read the Bible to connect even closer to the coach. There's something else that you can do in that locker room, and that's pray. You know, there was times when I would, as a player, be in the locker room and I'd hear that, "King, get here." And I knew it was the coach calling for me. And he'd pull me aside and he would start telling me, "Listen, this team have a slow defense. You are fast. The only way they can stop you is to take you out at the knees. They're going to stop you and you need to be careful. You need to go around them, go around the side. You can beat them with the speed." And he would start telling me how to be careful, but also how to get through the problem that was about to happen. Then I would come back to him and say, "Okay, so if I'm going this way, am I going to have protection here? Can you get more players to protect me?" "Yeah, they're going to put the ball through and you're going to be able to run onto it and score." And it became this two-way conversation in the locker room with just me and the coach. And that's exactly how God is with us in the locker room. It's a place where he can pull us aside and talk to us, and we can talk to him. It's a way that we can, if we're frustrated at life, that he can encourage us and say it's going to be okay. But it's got to be a two-way street, just like it is in a locker room. So in the locker room, there's not only the side of it where we get to be one-on-one with coach and we get to pray and read the word, but also within the locker room, there is a togetherness with the team. There's a trust and encouragement. Acts 2:44 says this: "There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed. They shared all of their material possessions in trust." The word togetherness there in the Greek and Hebrew actually means to be in the group. Jesus had one of the craziest teams anyone could have put together. When you look at the disciples, they were a real crazy bunch. Yet over those years, these guys that normally would never have been associated together created a bond that was so strong. They created community with one another. So even when Jesus left, this scripture is written when they're in the upper room and Jesus has gone and now they're waiting for Holy Spirit. They are all still, apart from Judas, all together. There was a community that was built. Let me ask you this. Who do you in your life, who would you say is in with you? Like if you were needing help and this togetherness, this trust that we're talking about, if you were needing someone to talk to or a group of guys to talk to, who would that be? Because life was never intended for the Lone Ranger, the person who thinks they could do it on their own, especially in church life. Who is cheering you on when you have a great day? And who is calling you when you've had a bad day to encourage you? About a year or so ago, I started connecting with a few guys in our church. It actually started when I needed a bit of help at my house, and I am not Handy Andy, right? I am not the guy you call if something happens with your property at all. And so I got to know these guys who are at the Dream Center 3 or 4 days a week. They're retired guys who just love what we're doing at the Dream Center. And about a year or so ago, they came out, and I think we got a picture of them. You know them as Rob, John, and Dennis, and that's me in the middle with the drill. That was just a prop, all right? But they came over and helped me. But over the year, these guys have been guys that I can call, talk to, have a laugh with, go out to Pizza Ranch. They're guys that I feel there is a trust with. There is a connection with us. And some of the stuff that I do and some of the pastoral team have got different people they connect with. Some of the stuff that we do, sometimes we just need someone outside of the loop to talk to. And these guys have been that for me. They've been guys that are in my locker room. And today I want to encourage you about finding your locker room guys, your locker room ladies. That could be people that are at your Connect group, the groups that meet throughout this city. It may be the guys in your Connect group that you feel you could go and talk to. It may be your ministry groups. You may be like, Andy, what's a ministry group? You know, it's the group that may come together and serve at the Hope Store. Or it may be the group that helps Miranda in Reaction Kids or Michael with Underground. It may be guys that help in the Connect team. It's those people that do ministry with you. Please understand, we don't do ministry just to get a job done. We do ministry so that you can connect with other believers within the church to strengthen you up, to help you out. There may be people that can help you within the ministry groups. There may be a fun group that you meet with. Maybe a bikers group that you go riding with. It may be a fishing group. Oh, man. These guys that are meant to be my friends are dragging me next week to an ice fishing competition. I've never been ice. All I know about ice fishing is grumpy old men. That's all I know. So it's going to be fun. I like regular fishing, but I think ice fishing is a little different when they're talking about drilling holes and things like that. So anyway, but that is a fun group. We go and hang out. You may have people that are like that. Maybe a cooking group. You may cook with some of the ladies in the church. It may be maybe a group that do crafting. I don't know. But God has placed people in your lives, and it isn't just in a Connect group. Connect groups are essential, but there are other groups as well that God has placed people around you to be able to connect with. Just don't do life alone. You want people that, when you share your pain, they're not scared by it. When you have joys in your life, they'll cheer you on. You need people in your life that will listen to your questions and not run away because they're too big of a question. You see, life is not meant to be done alone. Jesus exemplified this throughout Scripture. At any time, Jesus would have between 300 to 400 people following him. They were also classed as disciples. But then there was the 12 that came close. So that was like the locker room guys. And then from that, Jesus had three that he really leaned on: Peter, James, and John. So Jesus was showing us this, that it's okay to open up to people and let them into your life. So let's move on from the locker room, because believe it or not, you can have an amazing locker room experience, but you'll never win anything if you stay in the locker room. The locker room empowers you to go and do the game. The locker room empowers you to win at life. So from the locker room, let's move out. This is something completely American. The huddle. Do I need to spell this? H-U-D-D-L-E. That's what I just said. The huddle. My accent sometimes can throw people like, huddle, what's he on about? The huddle. This is in most American sports, and I've come to work something out that in American sports, people get tired very quick. Because they're always having these timeouts. They're always having these breaks, like getting a water break, going off to see your mom and get back. I mean, they're doing all these different things within a game. Now, in the English games, when that whistle blows, you don't stop for 45 minutes. You keep going. But apparently, there's this thing called the huddle in American sports. Am I correct? Does anyone like the huddle more than the actual game? The huddle is designed to bring everyone together. Let me tell you what the huddle means, and I had to look this up on Wikipedia. To move close together to form a tightly packed group. The football team huddles up to discuss the next play. It also says it causes the group to come together in a tightly packed crowd. The huddle, from what I've been reading, the huddle is where people come together and align with each other, encourage one another, and then hear the next play. That sounds like the church. The huddle right here is the church, the local church. Jesus came to establish the local church. That was his main goal. Obviously, dying for everyone on this planet and obviously raising from the dead. But then also to establish the local church was one of his main core goals. So I feel like I'm preaching to the crowd right now because you understand about coming to church because you're sitting here. But sometimes it's always good to go over why we come to church. Why do we huddle up? Well, one of the first things I feel is for alignment. When we come together, just the same in the huddle, when we come together, we align with one another. We align with what's going on within the church. We align with what may be going on in the city and the church's response to what's happening in the city. Acts 2:46, it's the same verse that I just read from. It says, they were unified as they worshipped at the temple day after day. And in homes, they broke bread, shared meals with glad and generous hearts. Now, please notice something. Yes, there was a social element to the local church being established back then. There was a social element where they met in homes, they ate, they shared one with another. There was a home thing going on, a social thing. But this scripture doesn't start with that. It says they were unified as they worshipped at the temple, which would be church, the church. They came together somewhere that was a significant place to be able to be unified in their worship. So when we come together, what are we aligning? Well, the first thing that we are aligning is scripture and biblical teaching. The huddle always aligns us with what we believe and don't believe. I'll be honest, that's why for, you know, people always ask me, what podcasts do you listen to? What preachers do you listen to? I have to look at everyone that I listen to, and if they're not attached to a local church, and I don't listen to them. And I know that's hard because there's some amazing speakers within this world, but they can become a little lone rangers. And there's no accountability on what they're saying or what they're doing. And so for me, my rule has always been, whoever I listen to, I want to check out, what church are they connected to? Who is feeding into them? Because there is something about when they come to a church, the scriptural alignment is so important. On what you believe and not believe. Because you could read the scripture, and that's why we have denominations, right? That's why we have so many different branches of the church. It's because some people believe in some things, some people believe in other things. When you get tied into a local church, you're now aligning yourself with what that church believes scripturally. And it's important because it can stop a lot of hurt. It can stop a lot of pain. If you're listening to someone that may not be lining up scripturally right. I know I've just unpacked a lot of stuff there, but just be careful with the people you listen to. See where they are aligned to first. See what church they're connected to. And make sure it lines up with what we would teach. Another thing of alignment with Huddle is what we sing. We don't just do songs. We don't just look at what's cool at the minute. Hey, let's throw that in the mix. Our worship guys spend hours just seeing what songs need to be sung for right now in this time in history at Riverside. Because what that does is when we all start to sing it, it aligns our hearts to God or to a proclamation of what's happening in the city. It's so important. It's not just a song. It's not just the first 20 minutes of a service. That's why we encourage you to worship with everything you've got, because it's aligning us all ready for where we're going, whether it be in the service or going out into the community. So they're just a few things of alignment within the huddle, within the church. Another thing that is really important when we huddle together is that we get to encourage one another. You can't do that on your own. I mean, you can try and encourage, hey, you're looking great today. Oh, thank you. Like, you can try and do that, but if you come together at church, you can encourage one another. People that are having a bad day, someone can lift them up. Someone who comes in to have an amazing day can encourage that onto someone else. It's so important. Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten. That is like the most passive-aggressive verse in the Bible. Let me just read it in a normal way, right? Not forgetting to gather as a community, as some of you have. That's basically what it's saying. But encouraging each other, especially as the day of the Lord returns. This is a scripture where Paul is calling people out. Like, we need to get together to inspire one another. You know, there's a lady in our church. She was in first service. I don't think she's here second, but I got told off in between service, but I'm used to it now. There's a lady in our church, Mama D. Does everyone know who Mama D is? Yeah, yeah. So Mama D will come up to me every week and encourage me, although she didn't today. You'll hear why in a minute. But she would come and encourage me today every week, and she would, you know, always say, oh, how are you doing? You know, and some weeks she would say, Andy, you have lost weight this week. And I'll be like, okay, I'll take that. But she doesn't know that I've had like 2 roast dinners that week. I've been to Chick-fil-A 3 times that week. Like it's been a bad week, you know what I'm saying? But she will always say, oh, you're looking slim, looking slim. I'll take that all day long. I'll take the encouragement all day long. And that is what's great about the church. You can come together and people can encourage you. May not be about your weight, but it may be just, hey, I've been praying for you this week. Is everything all right? I saw a post on Facebook that you seemed down, was praying for you. That's a way you can encourage one another as you come to the huddle week in and week out. The third thing that can happen in a huddle, I know there's a lot of things that can happen in a huddle, but the third thing is you get to hear the play. When you come to church week in, week out, and as the message is being given, you are hearing a play. You are hearing ways that your life can be changed. You're hearing ways that you can impact your world. It's a play. The play that we speak on a Sunday here from the stage is never meant to stay in this room. What we are speaking, all the pastoral staff, when we are speaking to you, it's not like we're speaking to people within a country club. A country club is you sit and you're a part of the group and yet you may not really go and impact the world. What we're doing here, you can go and impact your world. We are inspiring you as best as we can for you to go out into the community. But here you are hearing the play to now go and impact your world. If you don't come to huddle up, your impact will be weakened. Not that the church is the only place that you can get strengthened, but it's the one that Jesus talked about a lot. And he knows the priority of getting people to church, to the huddle time, so that you can hear the play and you can go on out. You see, God never intended us to sit on the sideline or to even be a fan. He expected us to be in the play. And when you hear the play on a Sunday, you can go out and do it. Now, I know that you may be new here today. This may be your first or second time. And welcome. Thank you for coming. There's a lot of churches you could try out. But thank you for coming. But you're sitting here just like I sat when I was at my first English soccer game. Let me try and explain. When I was a kid, we went to see Coventry City. This was a soccer team that were in the Premier League at the time. I was young. I went with Dad. A little nervous because there'd been a bit of hooliganism at that time in the soccer teams over in the UK. And I remember he'd got some seats that were like in season ticket area. And we sat down. And all of a sudden there is this singing and chanting of like 30, 40,000 people. Now, no one hit the iPod for the song for them to sing. These were fans that had created their own songs. And week in, week out, they would just start to sing and chant for their soccer team. It was an incredible. And to this day, if you ever go to an English soccer game, it will blow you away how this all happens. And now it carries on from generation to generation. But I remember sitting there going, I don't know any of the songs. I don't know any of the chants. Then the guys next to me started talking about players on the team and who was playing that day. And they started talking about the history of the club. And then they started talking about the ticket prices going up. And just talking about what was going on within the club. It was like their own language. Then as people came in, they were like greeting one another as if they were family. Some of these people had season tickets for many, many years and they'd got to know people around them and they were greeting them like a family. And today, you may be new here and you may feel exactly the same. You may think, man, they're singing songs I've never heard of before. Feels a bit uncomfortable, but we'll just go with it. Or you may be sitting near someone and they're talking about church and it seems like they've got their own language, talking about Reaction Kids or Underground Ministries or the Connect Team or the Dream Center. Like they're talking about stuff you're not familiar with. It's okay. And you may be seeing that they're greeting one another. They greet one another like it's a family. Well, it is. But here's what I want to say to you. If you're new today, or you've been a few weeks, I'd say, come again. And again. And again. Because what I found was, as I started going to the soccer games, I got to know the songs. I got to know the people. I got to know about the team. I got to, and to the point where I got the point of why everyone was doing what they were doing. And that was to cheer on the team. That was to get the team further in the league with their cheering and chanting and being there as a team. I just encourage you, if you're new, to come back. That it may feel weird, what you've experienced today, but as you come back, you'll get to know us. You'll be able to hear about us and even get connected. So, we start the win in the locker room. We all start to win in the huddle when we come into a huddle. But now, we have to run the play. Now, the reality is this. At English, British soccer games and other sports, I was great at. But when it came to American sports, basketball, American football, baseball, man, baseball, yeah, that's, apart from the Cubs, of course, right, Cubs fans? Well, that woke you all up, okay. I'm just not good at them. I know I'm not good at them because I'm always asked to be on the bench if we're playing them. Or even worse, go and sit in the crowd. That's a real hit to the ego. Oh, you're here to play? Go and sit in the stands. That'd be great. I know I'm not good at American sports. And I hate the place of being put on the bench. But let me just tell you, right now is where we're going to try and stop some of these parallels between church and sports. You see, at church, everyone is intended to play. At church, everyone is intended to get in. We get to run the play. There's no you're in, you're out type of thing within the church. The Apostle Paul is directing the early church, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he starts using an analogy about a body, saying that we're all one body, but there are many parts, and people do many different things, but we're still one body. And he's just told the Corinthian church this, but then 1 Corinthians 12:14, it says this. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Greek and Jew, slave and free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, something more comprehensive. What Paul was saying, no more. He was saying, no more. The labels, the religious labels, have got to drop. We all get to play. There is no one excused to the sideline. We all get to play, and we are better together. About 2 years ago, as you know, I came back from Nashville. And when I came back, God really put together for me a new team at the Dream Center. And guys that had never been working with me before, we were able to hire, and some of the ladies that are with it, just an amazing, amazing team that God has put together at the Dream Center. But in the last 2 years, we have had to intentionally do things so that the whole team is on the same page. Right now, there's around 30 to 40 employees that work at the Dream Center. And it's hard to keep everyone on the same page. And so one of the things I brought back from Nashville was some staff core values. Things that we can all live by day in, day out. And so we got these 10 staff values, and one of them I feel really lines up with what I'm talking about here. Our third staff value is give ministry back. We want to release people. We are passionate about development and empowerment of leaders and volunteers. We will develop owners instead of renters. And our whole aim is that anyone that is involved with us, we want them to be released into ministry. We want to give ministry back. I've even told our staff, if we're doing big major events and we're the main people that people are seeing, we've missed the point. It shouldn't just be the staff that are doing the stuff. This is where we're now releasing people to be able to give ministry back. See, as we get more people to run the plays that we talk about, whether it's on stage here or at the Dream Center, if we can get more people to run the plays, then we have a bigger win. More people are impacted. Let me try and explain this a little better. Back in December, Robbie and our team that run our after-school programs, every day we have 70 to 100 young people that come to the Dream Center for like after-school programming. And at the end of every year, they do a lock-in overnight. And we have, I think it was like 150, 175, and we actually had a cut-off where we had to send kids away this year just because we couldn't get any more in for safety reasons. And so I show up down there just to make sure everything's going well, that Robbie's got everything he's needed, that the volunteers are going great. And I walk into one room and it's like a full-blown Christian nightclub. Like got a DJ going, smoke, lights, and I'm like the old white man standing there like, I felt like Mr. Bean. Have you ever seen Mr. Bean? You know, like, okay, I feel a bit out of place. So I walk into the gym. And in the gym, there's some guys playing basketball. Again, a place that I'm out of place in. And as I'm there, two guys come running up to me. One guy, about 20 now, 21, said, Pastor King, I just want to thank you. So I want to thank you for what you do here. For helping get all the volunteers to help. See, this kid had been with us since he was very young. Came to the Project 309 program. Came to youth when I was running youth a few years back. And now he's helping Robbie do some stuff, giving back to what he was given. He turned to me and said, Andy, guess what? I'm in med school. This is a kid who no one in his family had ever been to college. And yet he was making a stand and he was telling me, I'm going to get out of poverty and this is the way I'm going to get out of poverty. I'm going to med school and I'm going to become a nurse. I was like, man, I was already wrecked. And then I turned to this other kid, and this kid used to be like the poster child for Dream Center. This is a kid that we met at Metro Kids. We would not only do Metro Kids, we would then walk him to the homes where he lived at Taft Homes. He then started getting involved with Pastor Joe back in the day at youth group. And he actually ended up living with a couple in the church in their home to get him out of Taft. This kid was doing Project 309. He was at Underground. He would come to every Mission Peoria. He would do every service. Anything you could imagine, this kid was there. He came running up to me and he goes, Andy, it's been a bit of a rough life these past few years, but I've connected back with Robbie and I'm going to try and get involved more. And thank you for what you and the team have done here. And as he said it, I just thought of the hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating that, the hundreds of people that had been in this kid's life from the age of 5 or 6. Hundreds of people that got the whole notion that we all get to run the play. That it's not just one person, but we all win when we run the play, when we try to impact someone's life. You know, right now we've got a need at the Dream Center. The need is we've had so many people come into our homeless shelter that we're busting out the seams. And you'll hear in the next month or so of an expansion project that we're going to be doing there to try and take in the numbers. But one of the things that we've done in the last year or two is really live by these core values of dignity, compassion, and purpose. And when it came to feeding our ladies and children at the homeless shelter, I just felt there wasn't dignity coming. That we were so cramped and we were just taking people through, feeding them. Last year we fed 63,000 meals last year, just in our homeless shelter. And the need now is this. We want to lift the dignity level of it up. And so I'm just throwing this out there. We just decided this on Friday, and I'm just throwing this out. We're looking for 2, 3, 4 people that could prepare a meal and bring it to the Dream Center and serve it maybe once a week, once every other week, once a month. But like I said, it's a lot of meals we have to do. But we're looking for people who could come and serve at the homeless shelter. We can't run it on our own. We need you to get in the play with us. So if that triggers something in you, Sherry with a Dream Center shirt is going to be out in the lobby after service. But these are just ways that we get to run the play. You know, in the Olympics, there's a great race that I absolutely love to watch. It's called the relay race. It's normally at the end of the Olympics. I know they do it other times than just the Olympics, but that's when I see it. And it involves one of these, and I know I'm going to get in trouble because of my English, but this is a baton, whatever you want to call it. All I know is the French invented the name, and that's all I'm going to say about the French. So we're just going to call it a baton, all right? This is a baton. I know, a baton, a baton, okay. So, in a relay race, this is used. The aim is they get the 4 fastest runners from that country, and they'll run a certain leg, and then they have to hand it off to the next person. Then the next person grabs it, and they have to run their leg. And it keeps going until they cross the finish line. Week in, week out, right here, we have people who carry a baton. Week in, week out, we have people who come and give everything they have to run the play. You may say, well, what's the play? What are we running? What's the play that we're meant to be doing? It's to present Jesus to people. That's it. To present Jesus to people in a real way. We get to do that. You may say, how do we get to do that? It starts with you. Running the play may start with you at work or at school, turning to a friend or a co-worker and saying, would you come and sit next to me at church next week? No pressure. Just would you come and sit next to me at church next week? The play at that moment has started. Play has started because you have invited someone, and guess what? People say yes. The that they want to come and sit next to you at church. I dare you to try it. So you show up at church with your friend, and your friend's got a child as well, and you show up at church, and you've already started the race. You've already started the play with the baton. You get into the parking lot and you hand the baton off to our security team or to our parking team, and they direct you to a parking spot. They then walk you to the front door or the side door where Dennis may be on the side door, and they hand off the baton to Dennis to introduce himself and perhaps give a bulletin out. Then you and your friend, your visitor, walk around to the lobby, and it's as though Dennis has handed the baton off to the Connect team. And the Connect team in the lobby have prepared coffee, and they're welcoming people into the building, and there's information, and all of a sudden one of the Connect team sees that there is a child with you and your friend. And so the Connect team say, "Hey, let me take you to Reaction Kids." They walk down the hallway and they pass the baton off to the reaction workers there for our kids department. And during that time, there's a different baton that is being held around in the kids area, and they hand the baton back, and now the Connect team member is bringing the person, you and your friend, back into the auditorium. As you come past the coffee, where you grab a coffee that someone else with a baton had been preparing earlier this morning, you sit down in this room with your friend next to you. Now the Connect team member passes the baton on to our creative team, to the guys who do the lights and sound, and the TV screens and the visuals. And they get their chance to be a part of this play, to create an atmosphere that your friend can feel welcomed. The creative team then pass on the baton to this worship team or whoever is on that week. For that 20, 30, 40 minutes, they get to hold the baton and bring us in alignment as we sing. And that helps set up whoever is speaking, and the baton is handed off to someone like me. The reason why we run the play is so that you can invite a friend to hear about Jesus. It doesn't just take one person. It takes a whole army to run the play. So your friend may be here right now. You may be visiting today. Everything that has gone on within this building has been for you. And now I've got the baton. Because the message that everyone has been trying to show you in love is something like this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. And he was murdered. He was killed brutally. God the Father sent Jesus to earth. He knew what was going to happen. And Jesus is murdered, but then 3 days later, he's risen again. He's alive, and it's documented. This isn't just a fable or a myth. This is something that actually happened. And the connection between God and us was bridged by what happened on that cross with Jesus. That all the junk that we have, we can give directly to Jesus. And that one day we get to see God the Father, the Creator in heaven. That's the play that's been running today. You may be sitting here right now and your heart is going really fast, thinking, man, this guy is talking to me. It's because so many people in this room have come to the acceptance that we all need a Saviour. That's Jesus. Let's pray. If you're here and you're like, Andy, what you've just shared, I need to know this Jesus. I need to give my life to this guy. I need to know the Father. I want you to just say this prayer. You don't have to say it out loud, just say it inward, or just agree with what is being said. Jesus, we thank you that you came and died. You came and died for me. Then you rose again so that we could have life and have life to its fullest. God, I pray that you will help anyone that is praying this prayer right now. Let them know that this journey that has just started isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. God, I just pray that you will help everyone who's prayed this prayer, but also everyone who brought that person to church today. Amen. Now, the baton doesn't stay with me. If you brought a friend today, and they may have just said that prayer, or they may not have said that prayer, but they're still on this journey of finding Jesus, I'm handing the baton back to you now. It's now for you as the friend to help that person on the journey. The church is here to help, for sure. But we are all in this together. We all get to run the play. And if you've brought someone today that may have said yes to Jesus or is still looking at the faith of Jesus, I'm now handing the baton back. It's now your job to help your friend in this journey. If you came here alone today, you were just coming by, checking a church out, and you said yes to Jesus or you want help in that journey, we want you to go to the connecting point in the lobby. Just say, hey, I prayed that prayer today. We've got a Bible out there and we want to help you and connect you with some people that will be able to help you who are carrying the baton. Now, we could end the service there and it'd be a pretty good service. But there's people here who have been sitting on the bench for too long. There's people here who have perhaps been a spectator. This is not a spectator sport. Church is not a spectator sport. And you may be saying, Andy, I just want to get connected somehow. You've talked today about running the play and I want to be a part of running the play, helping the church move forward so that more people can come. Well, first, you've got to invite people. That's how we start this thing. You've got to invite people to church, to sit next to you at church. That's all you got to do. But then if you want to really get in the play, we need you to connect with us. There are so many people in this church that have got amazing skills and talents, but yet you use them at other places, at work and school, but we want you to use your talents and skills here. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to, on the way out, you'll see in the lobby a few people with some really bright shirts. You're going to see them. They're really bright. And they've got iPads. What they want to do is just connect you with us so that we can get in touch with you about getting involved in some of these teams that it takes to pull off a Sunday or a Wednesday or every day at the Dream Center with all the ministries we've got going on. So just go out into the lobby. There'll be people with bright, I think it's orange shirts. Just say, I want to get involved. They'll get you signed up and then they'll be in touch this week. And then, like I said, Sherry will be out there with a Dream Center shirt specifically for Dream Center stuff. Connect with her as well. But we can't do this all on our own. And if you're watching online and you're like, man, I'm not there to meet the person in the lobby, that's okay. We've got a thing called a website. RiversidePeoria.com or DreamCenterPeoria.org. Just go on there, click on volunteer, and you'll be able to volunteer for any type of ministry. Also on the Dream Center site, when you click volunteer, there's a way that you can also click to prepare a meal on a certain time of the day. We need meals every evening provided. Now on the weekends, lunch and dinner as well we need. So if you can help us with that, that would be great. We're going to have Julie to send us out on a bit of a high note. And I think there's a football game on tonight. Apparently, an American football game. All I know is I'm going to be cheering on the Rams. All right? See ya.